There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. This sinner was plunged beneath the flood and God saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tasted and tasted your grace. I was so lost, till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
The love of God gave me his pardon.
The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His blood has cleansed me. That's how I got saved. Of Jesus, I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Well, that's what happened to me. Amen. I tell you, I got every bit of that and then some.
Amen.
Got saved. I tell you, you hear folks say that today and it just, you know, they act like it's, oh yeah, been saved, baptized, all that. You know, not like it's just nothing. I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to anyone to get saved. And it's just a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It really is.
Yes.
Just to know that we belong to the God of the universe.
Amen.
It's just a wonderful thing. I hope that I can help you tonight. That's certainly my intent every time I step behind the pulpit. Tonight I want to try to help you with some things that will get you through the storm. And sometimes we learn by positive reinforcement from the truth of God's Word. And sometimes we learn not what to do, but what not to do. And tonight I'm going to show you some things that some people did and try to give you some instruction on why you shouldn't do this and what you should do instead of what they did. See, what happened in this mariner's story that Luke is telling us. Now, Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and he's telling us some things that happened. Obviously, him and as was read in your hearing by Pastor David Archicus, they were traveling with Paul as he was going to Rome. And Justice was the overseer there, and he obviously showed favor to Paul. But then some tough decisions were to be made. And suddenly Christian, Paul, his voice didn't matter. And I want to show you what happens when Christians' voices quit mattering. Okay? And how that they can matter again. Because it seems like we live in a day when a Christian says something that is attacked and it's slandered and, you know, I can't believe that. You know, people just fall all to pieces. Now, you let some you let some liberal, some twisted somebody stand up and say something, boy, they'll think that's the greatest thing ever. But you let a spirit-filled Christian stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and he'll get attacked or she'll get attacked almost immediately. But that's not going to stop us, is it? If it's going to stop you, this would be a good place to get off. That ought not stop you. You ought to just keep living for Jesus. Keep telling what God said. There's no room to quit. There's no time to retreat. Now, I'm not saying go out and be nasty. Don't have a nasty spirit. But be steadfast in your spirit. Amen. Be confident that what God has said shall come to pass. You'll never have to back up on this book, brethren. Never. You'll never have to say, whoops, it didn't happen. If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now what happens here, as we saw this morning, we looked at Paul and how God took care of him. Now God took care of Paul. I like what Paul said. If you look down in verse number 21, we talked about it a little bit this morning. He prayed. He got along with God and he prayed. And he went unto them and he said, you should have listened to me. He said, you should have hearkened to me. And then in verse number 22, he said, I'm going to exhort you. In other words, I'm going to tell you one more time. All right, so he had already admonished them. You go back over into verse number 9, the latter part of verse number 9, Paul admonished them. They didn't take his admonishment. And they paid dearly for it. Right? They paid dearly for it. And he said, now we're going to try this one more time. See, sometimes you can tell folks things, and they might not take the first admonishment. Now, the Bible's very clear on this. You go and you give an admonishment. And if they don't take the first admonishment, you go back and give the second admonishment. And here's Paul again, and he says here in verse number 22, and now I exhort you. He said, be of good cheer. He said, God's going to take care of this situation. Now, I want you to watch what he says here. He said, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. Now, you read this and you'll find exactly what Paul said here happened. Exactly. The ship was lost, but all 272 passengers came out alive. You know why? Because God said so. And everything that God says, if we could just get a hold of this, brethren, when God says it, you can act on it. You can act on it. We can act on what God says because God has never failed in not one of all of his wonderful promises. Not one of them. So the scripture says in verse number 23, Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. I like that. Amen. Paul said, you know, I just want to set the record straight here. Now watch this. You think I'm a prisoner of this guy right here? No. I want to set the record straight who I belong to. Amen. I belong to God. That's what he's saying. He's setting the record straight. He said, I belong to God, whose I am and whom I serve. I'm here serving God. What about Paul having that mindset? In these precarious situations, Paul has a mindset, I belong to God and I'm serving him. Then he said this, he said, fear not. God had spoke to Paul and he said, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So Paul set the record straight. And he's saying, God has a plan. It's not looking too good for you right now, but God has spoken to me and this is what's going to happen. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Now watch this. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now that is where every Christian needs to be standing. Right there. See, the world's uncertain. These folks on the ship, they were uncertain. I mean, they were trying anything and everything. We looked at it this morning. They were trying anything and everything. They had lost all hope. Didn't shake Paul up a bit. You'll never convince me that Paul one time got shook up. Not one time. I believe the ship was in total chaos and Paul was just riding the storm out in the grace of God. Just like you and I can when we trust what God has said. He said, I believe God and it's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen. Do you believe God? Do you, brethren? I believe you do. But listen, we can't just assume anymore. There's a lot of folks who say they're Christians. They don't even know what the Bible says to believe it, let alone believe it. Find out what this book says and start living in accordance to what it says. You can count on God's promises. And that will begin to go to work in people's lives. Watch what happens. I want to give you some things. So what happened in these people? What did these people do to get them into the shape they were in? I mean, these people were, they were in a terrible predicament. They were in fear of their life. They had no hope. They thought they was going to lose everything. They began to chunk all the things that were valuable to them overboard. They didn't think they was going to make it out alive. And it's because of some terrible decision making. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you just some quick things here. Be careful about the decisions that you make in life. Behind every choice and with every choice is a consequence attached to it. All right? You can't make a choice. I can't make a choice. We can't make a choice without some consequences being attached to it. And so these people made some choices, and they were terrible choices. And I don't want you, and God help me, God help us not to make these same mistakes. And so I want to give you kind of some things not to do in the storm, because this is what will happen in life. Now let's see how they got into the storm to begin with. All right, you ready? Look at verse 9. When you come up to verse number 9, Pastor David read it in your hearing, you'll see that they were getting a little behind, and they started getting a little antsy. You know what that is, don't you? That's country for impatient. Hey, man, they were getting a little skittish, and they just had to do something. I want you to write this word down, compulsion. Can I tell you that there are people that get, I mean, they just feel like they've always got to do something. You know, there's some folks that live on this, do something, even if it's wrong. No, that is terrible advice. That is terrible advice. The Bible says that you're not wasting your time waiting. You wait on God. Don't you do anything until God gives you the green light. Now let's see what these people did. So the scripture says that as they set out to sail, you'll notice a couple of words here that things started slowing down. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. It talks about that the winds in the latter part of verse 4 were contrary. And then it says in verse number 7, and when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over. Listen, they were not making much progress here. And it seemed like the weather was working against them. Then they got on this ship, and then notice verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, they felt like, boy, they were wringing their hands. Man, we got to pick this thing up. We got to get moving here. This is the age of let's get her done, right? Let's go. Let's pick it up. Got to always be doing something. We're Action Jackson. Got to go. Got to go. Got to go. I'm going to tell you something. That'll get you in trouble. Now listen to me. There's times that the Bible says we ought to be still and know that God is God. Just sit still. Three times in the Bible. Once in the book of Exodus chapter 14, Moses said, stand still. Once in the book of Psalms 46, the psalmist said, be still. In the book of Ruth chapter 3 verse 18, Naomi told Ruth, sit still. There's just a time to wait on the Lord. Amen. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't you get ahead of God. Say, well, preacher, I'm getting a little antsy. I feel like something should have happened by now. I feel like something's on the horizon, and I've got to strike while the iron's hot. The door's open. There's opportunity. You wait until God says go, and then you go. Don't go by gut. You know, folks, Christian people now using words like that. Well, I've got a gut. I've got a notion. I feel this and feel that. You better cut that stuff out. The Bible says pray about everything. Now, brethren, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I don't think I have to tell you this. I don't pray about everything. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't. I am praying about more now than I've ever prayed for in my Christian experience. But I've still got a long way to go. And I'm here to tell you that we need to be praying about everything. Now, God doesn't just waste words. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 that we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? We need to be praying. I'll tell you something else. When we pray, we need to wait on God's will. James said, don't you be saying you're going to go here and go there and do this and do that. You say the Lord will. If the Lord be willing, I'm going to do this and do that. See, God has a plan too. Don't you get your plans ahead of God, and God help me not to also. Okay, number one, compulsion. Did you write it down? Many, many Christians get out of God's will and enter into unnecessary storms by acts of compulsion. You know what compulsion is? It is the force, the state of feeling like I've got to do something. I've just got to do something. Well, there's times that God, you know what God wants you to do? Just wait. Just sit right there until God tells you the next move. See, there's just something in this flesh, it feels like we've always got to be doing something, right? Just always got to be doing something. Well, sometimes I'll tell you what God wants you to do, just sit. Wait. Wait on your next orders. Wait for God to give you your next step. There's nothing wrong. I think it was A.W. Tozer that said, you'll never waste time while waiting on God. You'll never waste time by waiting on God. And so until God says, this is the next move, don't just start acting out of compulsion. It got these people in a heap of trouble. Number two, I want you to write this word down, okay? I want you to write down the word consultation. Now, I say a lot from the pulpit. We talk a lot about counsel. I'm still convinced that very few Christians get counseled. They just up and do things. They say, well, you know, I feel good about it, preacher. I'm going to do it. You're going to mess up is what you're going to do. I can't tell you how many people's messed up by feeling good about something. We talk about how that this life is a life of faith and not sight. It's a life of faith and not feeling, too. You don't go on a hunch. Amen. If I was your pastor and I stood up here and I said, hey, folks, I've got a hunch that we ought to make a big investment in something, I hope to God you would say, oh, wait a minute now. That's a big move there. We're not ready to follow the pastor's hunch, the pastor's notion. And yet many people run their lives and their households on a notion, on a hunch, on a feeling. Now, that's not the way Christians are to conduct their lives. Now, these people got the wrong consultation. I want you to notice how God gave them an opportunity now. God gave them an opportunity to make the right decision, and they completely dismissed it. Watch it. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. In verse number 10, after Paul admonished them, and he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only for the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Look at that next word. I want you to underline it. I have it underlined in my Bible. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. In other words, we're not really interested in what the preacher says. We've got our mind made up. We've already talked to the experts. He's smarter than the preacher. He's got degrees on his wall. And so we're going to go with what the experts say. Now listen, I thank God for experts. Don't misunderstand me. I'm glad that there's some people that have training and that they have experience in areas and we can learn from them. But when the experts go directly against what the Word of God is, I'm going with the Word of God every time.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says here in verse number 10, Paul said, not a good deal. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Big mistake. Big mistake. See, Paul had told them. Paul had said, don't think we ought to do this. I'm going to tell you what I think these folks do. I see it all the time as a pastor, and if you counsel any enough people, you'll see it too. So you come to the pastor, and the pastor doesn't agree with what you feel. And so you go around and you try to find people that feel the same way that you feel about that situation until you can find enough people that feel the same way that you can feel good about that feeling that you have. Right? And he says, well, you know, so-and-so said that I ought to do this. Hey, you get you some good godly counsel, and the greatest counsel you can get is on your knees in the secret place asking God what he would have you to do about that matter. And the Bible says here that Paul told him, the man of God said, don't do it. But they went against that counsel, and nevertheless, and that's a big nevertheless, they believed those folks more than those things that were spoken by the Apostle Paul. Now, we'll come back to that a little later. All right? Then the next word I want you to write down is comfort. Look at verse number 12. You know what the word commodious means? The scripture says, "And because the haven was not commodious or suitable or something that would be of comfort, because that the haven was not comforting or suitable or commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and the northwest." Now here's a big mistake that people make, and I don't want you to make it. In life, sometimes we're always looking for the path of least resistance. Now almost always, now I didn't say always, so I want to make that very clear. And if you need to go back and check the tape later on, I want you to go back and check the tape. I did not say always. I said almost always the easy way is the wrong way. Almost always. Almost always. You see, the problem that we have in our society, among many other things, is we're looking for the easy way for everything. We don't want to put any form of exertion or labor or preparation or planning. We just want to do it the easy way and be done with it. More times than not, you're going to find yourself in some trouble that way. More times than not. And these folks was that way. They wanted the comfortable, the easy way, the way that suited their flesh. Can I tell you, the flesh always wants soothed. Always. The devil's always saying, "Hey, hey, hey, whoa, slow down, slow down. Don't get too excited about the church and the Bible and God and stuff. Woo, man, you're going to have people thinking you're a loose nut or something." Right? Now, going down to the church and being old Baptist, you know, right? Being a good old Baptist and attend church every now and then, but my goodness, don't come to work talking about Jesus. Matter of fact, don't even mention that name. Well, do you know that that name's not to be met? Of course, you can mention Muhammad and Buddha, right? Allah. But don't mention the name Jesus in the school, in the workplace. No, no, no. See, the comfortable way. The comfortable way. Well, boy, if I don't mention Jesus or the Bible or sin or hell, then everybody will pat me on the back and say I'm a good old fella or a good old gal. Well, our intent in life ought not to be to get a pat on the back. We're servants of the Most High God. And so the scripture says here, you be careful. So you got them in some trouble. They were looking for the easy way out. They say, "Hey, look, you know, I don't know if this is going to work out. This is not too suitable. This is not going to be too comfortable." Well, there's a lot of things in life that's not too comfortable. But that doesn't mean they're not good for us. Amen? I'm still amazed. I'm amazed. I've seen a little bit of it today. Folks, and listen, you say, "Well, that's just the pastor in you." Whatever, I don't know, it may be. Folks can go sit in a tree stand and it be 8 degrees below zero, sleeting, and get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, but can't make it to Sunday school. Go sit at a ball stadium. Watch the football game today. The Packers and the Giants playing up in New Jersey, sleeting and snowing. And the stands, I mean, they were thousands of people in the stands. Didn't slow them down a bit. But you mention church now. You mention worship. Well, wait a minute, what time y'all start? Well, we have Sunday school at 9:45. 9:45? It's Sunday. Man. Of course, they're going to tailgate about 8 a.m. in the snow. That's right. See, it's all about priority. It's all about this commodious. It's what's suitable. Well, that's not suitable to us. Let's be careful about this suitable stuff. Rather, if we're going to get anything done for God, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's not all going to be commodious to us. Say amen with me now. It's just not. And many of you are seasoned saints of God, and you know what I'm telling you, so. It's going to take some work, and we're going to get some kickback. And then there's going to be some resistance, and it's just going to take some standing and being firm and putting forth the effort to get the work of God done. So, number one, I said compulsion. Don't go through life acting on compulsion. The Bible teaches we're to wait on God, and there's just a time to be still now. Number two, there's consultation. Get you some good consultation. Run it by two or three good people that you trust. good spirit-filled people. Share it with them. Have them to pray with you about it. Try to get you a Bible verse that you can act on in that situation. Number three, comfort. Comfort. Be aware of always trying to find the easy way. Number four, consensus. Look at verse number 12. It says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. You be careful about going with the majority. Just like that easy way is almost not always the good or the right way, the majority is not almost always not right. Now listen to me. You have to be careful. There's scriptures, there's experiences in life. You have to be careful. Know what the majority represents before you go with the majority. Amen. Know what it represents. Weigh the thing out. Here the Bible says that the more part advised to depart. The man of God said, don't do it. Amen. Look at it. Verse number 9, Paul admonished them. Verse number 10, he said, this is not going to end well. But the more part said, oh, yeah, it will. Yeah, it will. Is that what the Bible teaches, brethren? You have to be careful about these things. See, we get ourselves in some tight spots. We get ourselves in some unnecessary situations when we follow this way of thinking. We're not to think and act like this. This is the natural-minded way to think. We are to be spiritually minded and to find God's mind on the matter. Now, I'll give you a couple of other things, and I'll be through. I want to finish up so we can get into our meeting. I still want us to get out in a timely fashion. Brother Dave said it'll be about 15 minutes. All right, now listen to me. First of all, compulsion. Don't just do something to be doing it. Number two, consultation. Find you some people that you can go to and run it by. All right, I think it's just so important. Say, oh, preacher, I'm not going to do that. You're going to mess up now. I'm telling you. You're going to mess up. Everybody ought to have someone they can confide in and talk with about some matters, about some decisions in life. So I'm going to do that, and that's just up to me. Well, I can tell you right now, you're not following the admonition from the Scripture. There's dozens and dozens of Scripture that says that in counselors, matters should be established, and there's safety in many counselors. You need to get you some people that can counsel and advise and give guidance. Maybe they'll see a side of the cube that you don't see. I try to minister, I try to pastor, I try to lead this way. And I just think it's God's way, brethren. I don't think that anyone could debunk or debate that. The Scripture is very clear. Counsel is something that all of us need. Number three, comfort. Be careful about the easiest way. Number four, consensus. Consensus. All right? Just because more people say it so doesn't mean it's so. Right? Just because a dozen people say, well, you know, that NIV, that's a good version. It wouldn't matter to me if 95% of folks who called themselves Christians said it was a good version. That's a watered down. I'm not saying a person couldn't get saved from it, but I'm going to tell you something. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. And there's a lot of folks using it. But that doesn't mean it's not corrupt. It's corrupt. And we could go on and on with stuff, brethren, on and on, that a majority say this, a majority came back from spying out the land, didn't they? And they said, we can't do it. Boy, it's a good thing they didn't listen to the majority. They'd still be in the wilderness. And then circumstances. I touched on this a little earlier. You have to be careful about letting circumstances dictate. Now, I'm not saying that circumstances shouldn't weigh in sometimes. I think all of us know that they should and they do. But in verse number 13, we see something that really, it's almost like it governed their decision. Look at verse 13. It says, and when the south wind blew softly, look at this next phrase, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Boy, that's what we've been waiting on, a sign, right? You know, you feel that? That south wind blowing softly. It must be God's will that we sail. Right? And there are a lot of folks, listen, if we'd all be honest, we've all either done something like that or similar to that. It must be God's will that I do that. The door opened up, right? It must be God's will. Just felt good when I stepped through the door. They said that too. The Bible says in verse 13, when the soft wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Oh, this is it. This is a sign for sure. But notice how quick circumstances can change. Verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Wow. You read down through this, it's almost like God from heaven with a heavenly fist started beating on the sea. And I mean, they were in trouble, in a hurry. You know why? They made a decision based on circumstances, how they felt, how things appeared to be. As Christians, we don't make decisions like that. We lay it out before God. We put it on the altar. Now, God, I want to do what's right. And so I'm asking you to give me peace in my heart. Show me what you'd have me to do. Brethren, serving God, God's not trying to keep His will a mystery to you and I. God's pleased when we want to do His will. God's pleased when we want to do it His way. If we just ask Him, if we just wait on Him, God would lead us. Say, well, preacher, I've messed up. I haven't always done it this way. Well, doesn't mean you can't start. Why don't you take this chapter and read through it and notice what God did. Now I want to close with this, okay? Give me about 3 minutes. I'm going to show you something. I want you to notice what happened. Did you notice they wasn't listening to Paul? They wasn't listening to him. But something happened. Something happened. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at school, young folks. Maybe in your family, extended family, your community, and people's not listening to you. You're a Christian. And you're like Paul, and you're warning them, you're admonishing them, and they're just shutting you down and telling you, yeah, okay, okay, okay. And they're going to other people and just acting against your admonishment. That's exactly what happened to Paul. We can learn yet more truths from this. I want to give you just a couple here about Paul. And I hope it'll encourage you. It sure has encouraged me. You see, I have admonished people for years on a personal level and a public level. Some follow the admonishment. Some do like these folks. So what can we do? Well, first of all, I want you to notice what Paul didn't do. He didn't get them in a corner and call them heathen and tell them you're going to hell and the sooner the better. Say amen. There's folks get just downright angry when people won't do what they tell them to do. Well, you're not going to reach many people that way. Actually, you're not going to reach anybody that way. You're going to make enemies. And you're going to do great harm to the cause of Christ. Paul maintained his integrity. He kept his focus and he kept his faith. Now he did go up to them and he did tell them, he said, now listen, you should have listened to me. But he didn't pound and pound on them. Right? Is that right, brethren? Is that what happened here? He didn't pound and pound on them. He said, you should have listened to me. You know what? They finally got it. Let me show you a couple things, all right? Notice if you would, look at verse number 30. In verse number 30, the Bible says that these shipmen were about to flee off the ship. We talked about it, I think I closed this morning there, and they were about to flee. They're about to get on the lifeboat and head out, you know. And they said, we're going to go drop these anchors. Yeah, drop an anchor, all right. They were lowering the lifeboat and they were going to leave, right? They were going to skip out on them. You know what Paul did? Look at verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now this is the same man that said, I don't think we should sail. And they said, well, we talked to the shipmaster and the ship owner. And they said it'd be all right, so nevertheless, we're going to sail. But some things have changed now. Amen? Now notice what happens. Look at verse number 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes off the boat and let her fall off. Amen. They went over. Amen. You're not leaving the boat. This man said, if we're not all on the boat, then none of us are going to be saved. You're not leaving. Amen. We listen to this man. You know why? because he conducted himself like a Christian ought to conduct himself. He stuck to his belief. He didn't waver in the storm. He kept his focus on God. And he said, I believe God, even though things don't look too well right now. God said this is going to happen, and it's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen. That got their attention. It'll get the other people's in your life's attention and the people in my life's attention too. Paul wasn't running around, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. Hey, we've got to exercise some faith and some belief in our life. We've got to let some people know that we believe God's in control. Amen, brethren. Amen. Amen. We can't listen to the world's run around, like my grandma used to say, like a chicken with her head cut off. How many of you know what that's all about? Amen. The world's running around like that. Well, we can't join them. Oh, my goodness. They're going to be preacher president. Maxine Waters is going to be the next president. Oh, that would, well, that ought to give us cause to run around. Amen. This and that's going to happen and all this. Hey, listen. Listen. Keep your composure. Stay focused. Stay honed in on what God said. Be grounded in what you believe. And then step up and say, hey, you remember? I told you that God said that if we don't all sail on this ship, that we're all not going to be saved. You remember me telling you that? It hasn't changed because God's word doesn't change. You know what they did? They went over there and cut it. Amen. Watch this. Verse number 33. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat. Paul had a meat out of his hand. Amen. This is a guy they wouldn't even give the time of day to. This is a guy just a short while ago they were saying, nevertheless, preacher, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these scare tactics of the preacher. You better not go out. God's going to cause a storm. Right? Now, Paul, they're doing everything Paul says. They're doing everything Paul says. You know why? Because Paul's conviction stuck in the storm. You want to separate the believers from the non-believers? A storm will do it. You want to separate what they say, the contenders from the pretenders, those who believe and those who don't believe what God says? You let a good storm come. You don't have to have people tell you who's been in the prayer closet and who's been in the Word of God. The storm will reveal it. The Bible says here that Paul said, you haven't eaten in 14 days. He said, verse number 34, he said, I want you to take this meat for your health. And he said, there should not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now I want you to watch this next phrase and then I'll close. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. Paul didn't change the whole complexion of the ship. Paul's done changed it. How? He believed God. He let God work in his life. And he let God work through his life. He didn't go on the attack and start cutting them down and calling them heathen and pagans and you're sorry, a bunch of disbelievers. I told you. Now look what you've done to us. He maintained his integrity. He stuck with his conviction. He said, I believe God when even the conditions didn't look on the upside. And they began to see God work in his life and they come to this conclusion, I'm just sure. Paul's God is God. That man's God is God. We're going to listen to him. And you follow this and they followed it. You follow this now. They followed him all the way through. They done everything Paul told them to do. So there's great lessons in this 27th chapter. Many more. But our time is up. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand. Brother David Thompson is going to come to the platform. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond.